Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Darnette's Corner. We have Darnette and Daniel, and we're going to talk about Native American prophecies. And on my dinosaur computer, the chat window should take about 3 more minutes to load. So.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So, Darnette, why don't you start us off with the main topic you wanted to talk about?
Well, I thought we would talk about some of the Hopi prophecies, since a lot of people are talking about the end times and things like that. Daniel, did you get a chance to go into some research on those?
Well, hi, Darnette. It's good to be on your show, and thank you for having me. As a matter of fact, I have heard various Native American prophecies, over the course of the last few years, and I didn't mention it when I spoke with you on the phone a couple of days ago, but interestingly enough, before you asked me to be on the show today, I had heard, I'd heard it before, but I had once again heard Stan Dale talk about the Hopi prophecies. And so I thought that was very interesting. There's a word, synchronicity, or synchronicity. I thought that was very interesting that you asked me just after I heard Stan once again speaking about it. So it's great to be on your show, and to be honest with you, I'm a little nervous because this is a bit out of my element, so you have to excuse
me. It sounds good. I tell you, we'll just talk about, the things, how they pertain to the day, the daily life and what we feel about what they represent. I know that, like the Hopi Court of Ashes, and the Blue Kachina, and a lot of other things, and you may know more about the Hopi than I do. See, I am actually Choctaw and Cherokee, so I know a lot more about the Choctaw stuff than about the Hopi. So don't feel nervous. You just pitch in whenever you have something to say. Doesn't bother me, both of you. I'm new at this, so it's kind of different for me. So you're not the only one that's nervous, believe me. I'd be curious to see what you thought about the Gourd of Ashes and kind of what, I know that they feel that this is going to come in the end times. And I think right now, is a time myself that this prophecy could very well go into start happening very quickly.
Can you tell me about that prophecy? Because that's not something I've heard of before.
Well, the Gourd of Ashes is kind of like that it'll be dumped on the earth. The Gourd of Ashes is one of the prophecies that's talked about that there will be a great ashes that are dumped upon the earth. Now, this will make the rivers boil. It will burn the earth. I believe myself that this is probably a nuclear thing going off. But it will really affect the earth in some ways. Now, of course, from my understanding from the Hopis or the prophecies that have come forth, the Hopis believe that there's an area of purification after a great war, say World War III. And I think we're standing in a time right now that these prophecies that talk about great wars and rumors of wars, coming to our earth or to America, actually. Now, they talk about Turtle Island, which all the Indians, you know, have kind of, America is considered Turtle Island to the Hopi and a lot of other Indians in this area. But I think that right now we're standing in the time of great prophecy that has been talked about by all the Indian tribes. And you can kind of tell me what you guys think about it.
You know, it is interesting how everything seems to be coming together all at the same time. Uh-huh. And let me just go back and tell what I heard Stan Dale talk about.
Sure.
And he spoke about how the Hopi, first of all, they didn't really want to tell him what was going on. But, it's a story in and of itself, but he ended up getting it out of them. And what they believe is that, there are these mesas or these bluffs all over Arizona. And
yeah,
they believe that water will fill up the basin and that they will have to take canoes to go in between those bluffs or those mesas.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that very interesting because that means that water will consume the land.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
You know, that would be what we would probably classify as an earth change or earth changes. And we've heard, I actually had a dream myself of a great tsunami hitting the West Coast generated from the Aleutian Islands. And I've heard of people having dreams and visions of a tsunami hitting the East Coast.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I saw, now I'm not saying I necessarily believe in this stuff, but there was a remote viewer. He was talking about, he was comparing himself to Ed Dames and the things that he and his team sees versus Ed Dames. Ed Dames, for your audience that doesn't know about it, did something called the kill shot, where they saw the sun scorch the earth, and, you know, we'll talk about that. But this individual did an experiment with these remote viewers, and what they saw, they focused on one point. All of them, they didn't know each other. They were separated. They weren't grouped together. And he told them to focus in on one point, one area. And that area, that place, was the Australian or the Sydney Opera House, and just in the Bay of Australia, of Sydney, Australia.
Right.
And what they saw was that the sometime in the future, that whole area is washed away. It's desolate. There's no more opera house. So they are seeing, and I'm not saying again that I believe this, but this is what they said, a great
right.
flood there as well. So you have believers or Christians having visions and dreams. And, you know, it says in Joel that your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. So you have Christians, believers, having these visions of floods and tsunamis. And then you have these non-believers, these remote viewers. They're not necessarily believers in Christ, I wouldn't think. And then you also have the Hopi saying that there's going to be this great flood again. And it's just very curious how all of these things seem to be coming together, pointing to a not-too-distant future.
Right.
And that's just earth changes. So
sure.
What you're talking about wouldn't be classified as an earth change. I don't believe anyway. It could, but it depends on how those ashes are poured out.
Sure, sure. But like you said, you had a vision of possible tsunami coming up on the West Coast. See, I did too. Now, this has been not long back. I had a vision of a tsunami coming. I was in Oregon standing on a bluff. Now, I've never been to Oregon. I've never been close to the coast. I was standing on the coast, and all of a sudden, I stepped outside the house of where I was at on the balcony, and I saw a great rush of water coming towards me. And I mean, it was just, it was so high. We were on a mountain, and yet it was so high that it was coming up over the mountain. And that's where I woke up. But definitely, people are dreaming dreams, having visions. I'm not sure if a lot of earth changes are coming, I believe. The part that I understand from the Hopi is that possibly America has turned over several times. And I know that Larry and I have lived several different places. And we were about probably 70, 80 miles living from here. And I kept noticing little seashells. Now, you don't get seashells from just, oh, Mother Earth, unless there's been water there. And then when we moved here, just lately, I've done some research. Well, there was a sea here. It was called the Cherokee Sea. And so apparently the sea has receded now, and the mountain we actually live on is one that was here during that time. It was one of the Ouachita Mountains. Now, there's a lot of earth changes been going on for centuries, you know, and a lot of things have been buried, and we're still finding evidence of these things. But a lot of the Hopi prophecies and the Indian prophecies talk about some of this. Now, some of them are a little more centered on things happening in the natural world, you know. But I believe that a lot of the Indians have a spiritual connection with the earth and with the Creator, because I think they're so close to being close to the earth because of their the way they've lived and their probably their ancestry and stuff. But like you said, Christians are dreaming dreams, and I guess just about everybody are noticing different changes. And it's not only the Hopi, but a lot of different peoples. And so I believe that something's coming.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that the evidence of that is the changes that we are seeing now. One of the people that I looked at is Red Elk, and I had heard. I don't know what tribe he's from. Would you have known what tribe he's from? I don't recall.
I can't remember it. I believe he's Comanche, but I'm not sure about that for sure.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Comanche.
Comanche. I
believe
you're right. I think you're right. And one of the things that Red Elk mentioned, and again, I've heard these things. It's amazing, darn it, that when you hear about Indian prophecies, you don't focus on them. They become a backdrop to whatever your tradition is. But it's amazing.
Sure.
As I went back and I began to study in preparation for the show, the things that I heard over the years, how connected they are. I haven't really considered these things before. But one of the things that Red Elk said is that we are all connected to the earth, and everything is interconnected. That, and he
sure.
used the example of water, how water covers the three quarters of the earth, or two-thirds of the earth, and how our bodies are made mostly of water. And he
right.
mentioned how, and I think this was a listening to the Hopis, I heard one of the chiefs say that that I think it was Red Crow. He was saying how that tree is pointing to a tree, and how that tree has the same DNA that we're made of. that tree is carbon-based, we're carbon-based. So, you know, the Native Americans, they knew something. They knew something that we as in our modern, you know, era, this era of intelligence or supposed intelligence and technology, we have either forgotten it or we've overlooked it because it's inconvenient,
sure,
or whatever the case may be. So you're absolutely right. They were connected to the earth. And I think that some of the things that they have said that we are now in our Western minds agreeing with are synchronicities. They are coming together as a testimony of what God is about to do or let happen in the earth. Now, why do I say let happen? Well, you know, one of the things that I heard one of the chiefs say, one of the elders say, he was saying that the earth, we needed to step back and consider what we are doing to the earth. Because if we don't stop, or if we don't change our ways, that the earth was going to have to cleanse itself. Now, I don't know if I agree with that viewpoint, but I will say this, that God will only allow man to go on so long in sin before he does something about it. And so what we see is the earth, in a Native American point of view, getting ready to purify itself, and we see a God, a righteous and a just God, taking a step back and saying, okay, you're in rebellion, and we need to fix that because I won't take this anymore. And he's gracious. You know, I think the Indians would agree that the Creator, that God, is gracious and he's merciful, but he's also God, and he won't put up with it forever. And so what we see is the culmination of time, these things all coming upon the earth all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know God, if you don't know who he is, then it can be a scary time, because we would call this judgment, and it is judgment.
Right.
You know, but I believe we are walking into a time that we are going to see tremendous earth changes and war. You just mentioned, you know, a possible nuclear war. I think we will definitely see that.
Yeah,
you know,
that is.
I don't know if you read my first book, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, but one of the things that I did in that book is it was the first book I wrote, and God had done so many things to awaken me. It was about 2.5 years ago. I've been a believer for almost 30 years, and about 2.5 years ago, it was as if, you know, I was being shaken awake. And when I finally woke up, he began to show me things. It's not like I didn't walk with him and I didn't believe him. But there was this other, I talk about having a paradigm shift. There was this, and part of that was through my own personal, you know, experience and my own personal situation. Caused me to really begin to look at things differently, and then as my eyes began to open, I began to get so much more hungry for the truth. I wanted the truth. I didn't want what you know, the media would dish out on a regular basis, or what you hear even from, you know, regular pulpits on a regular basis. I wanted the truth.
Sure.
I wanted
the first relationship.
Right, and I had one. I did have a personal relationship with Christ, but it wasn't this. It wasn't the way. When I said I woke up, it was like, how can I explain this? So many things, you know, in life we take for granted because we were told them, either from a Christian standpoint or even a regular standpoint. This is the way life is, and you're going to accept that, we are told. And we just do. Well,
mm-hmm.
through circumstances, I began to see little bits of the truth, and I didn't want to believe it. You know, for instance, I was in the financial arena, and I began to understand what the real financial arena was. It wasn't what, you know, the world saw as far as banks and Wall Street and that sort of thing. That's not what it is. That's not really what it was. No. I began to see behind the curtain, if you will, and it was very difficult for me to accept that, because my worldview, my business view, my professional view, had always been this normal paradigm, this normal dynamic. And I began to see things were not as everyone thought they were. Only a few people really understood what was really going on in that arena. And, you know, what I began to discover after that little awakening was that life in general was not necessarily how we perceive it to be. It's not necessarily how we think things are. And the reason I mentioned that first book is because one of the things that God showed me in that book was that book, for your audience benefit, is 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast is about a physicist who's an agnostic or an atheist. He's the world's smartest man. And what he discovers is that our 3D dimension, 3D stands for height, depth, and width. That's the world we live in. Things have height, they have depth, and they have width. And actually, Einstein said that time was the fourth dimension, so we actually live in a four-dimensional world. But that this world that we see is adjacent or stands right next to these unseen dimensions that we don't see. And and what his journey is in that book is trying to get over there and see what's going on. Well, in the course of taking him on his journey in that book, there's so many truths that jumped out at me that I had to write them down, and I wrote them down in this fictional vehicle, you know, this book. This thriller.
Sure.
And one of the things that I did in that book is that there are many circumstances that are in that book that I actually experienced or heard someone else say. So even though it's fiction, it's based upon truths in one way or another. And the reason I say that is because my next book, As the Darkness Falls, is kind of like the same thing. Because in that book, I actually put, I'll just tell you, I don't want to give too much of a book away, but
no.
There's a tsunami in there, and that tsunami wipes out, you know, a lot of people in a lot of places. But
right. This
is an example that you know, that I'm talking about, that we are seeing things happen, and what I've been trying to do is to incorporate those things in such a way that people will understand them and be able to learn in an entertaining sort of way. And so when we talk about earth changes, I certainly hope that people are aware that this is just not it's just not a talk show. It's just not you know, something interesting or fodder for
it's not entertainment.
No, and you know, that doesn't mean it can't be entertaining. Certainly, we hope people are interested and they're enjoying. But that said, time, darn it, is so short.
It is.
And people need to understand how short it is. And this is why I love programs like this where I understand that, you know, your listeners are listening to you on a regular basis talk about Indian prophecies, Indian culture.
Yeah, but I'm kind of like you. The prophecies are a method of reaching people that don't know how to walk spiritually. Now, a spiritual walk to me is a walk with the Lord, walking close enough that if you're in an earth change and he tells you not to do something, you hear with your spiritual ears and you stop. Now, God has a way of dealing with us, and I'm real hard-headed, so, I mean, he almost has to reach down. But, so, I want people to understand that, you know, even though this is entertaining and you know, just kind of a conversation about your books and stuff, we sincerely want them to hear what the Lord's saying through all this. And that he is trying to deal with them to get them ready for the times that we're coming into. And I understand what you're saying about the spiritual walk because I was kind of like you. And I was in a church pew for the longest and didn't really get what was really going along with the spiritual walk. Now, I understood some of it, but I was like a baby. And I still am at times. So, but I do understand what you're saying. And, oh, the second book that you've written is outstanding. And I'm telling you, they better reserve a copy is all I could say.
But, you know, getting back to something else that you were saying, you were talking about nuclear war coming to the earth. And you know, one of the Red Crow, the Hopi elder, he said, and I'm quoting directly from him, he said, "We were told that we would see America come and go."
Right.
I want to let that sink in for just a second. We were told that we would see America come and go. Now, America, I served in the military. I'm a proud American.
Sure.
Like your husband. And and that's painful to listen to.
Sure.
But
because
it's painful doesn't mean that it's true. When you think about I just lost my train of thought. my daughter stuck her head in the door. I lost my train of thought. When you think about the fact that we've only been around for a little more than 200 years, in the course of history, that's not a long time.
No,
you know, there have been great civilizations that have been around a lot longer than we have. Now, remember what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that in the last days that knowledge would increase, and what we see. Sure. Is knowledge increasing exponentially. And as a consequence of that, we in America have benefited from that knowledge and are able to do things that in the short history of the modern world, people have never been able to do. But in doing those things, it is also proving to be, I believe, our destiny, because we can't keep doing the things that we do. You know, we can't keep, society in general can't continue on its course. It just can't. Not this way.
Right. Yes.
And you know the Indian prophecies are a simple way of telling people what they see in the future because of man that can't continue on the course they're going.
True.
So
go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You go ahead. No, you had something to say, so I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, it's okay. You know, so when I hear Red Crow say, "We were told that we would see America come and go," you know, first of all, as an American, you step back and say, "Well, wait a minute, that's not right. He shouldn't say that. He doesn't know what he's talking about." You know, we get prideful. And we would say, no. You know, and another example of this is the Harbinger series. And I forget the gentleman's name that did that series, but it talked about judgment on America. And 9/11 being the beginning of that judgment. And even Christians will say, no, I don't believe in that. I don't accept that. Well, just because you don't accept something doesn't mean that it's not the truth.
That's true.
And so are we going to stay? This is the question that I have for your audience. I don't care if we're talking about Native American prophecies. I don't care if we're talking about biblical prophecies. I don't care if we're talking about science when it comes to earth changes or catastrophes caused by civilization that's running rampant. Are you prepared, audience, to change your paradigm? Are you prepared to set aside those things that you think you believe, that you think are right, and consider that the worldview that you once held is actually wrong? Now, I'm not saying the Bible's wrong. I'm not saying God's wrong. In fact, he's always right. And it's us that haven't seen him the way he is. So the question is, when we hear of the things that are coming upon the earth, in earth changes, in catastrophes, in cataclysms, and we see the American Indians saying, we were told a long time ago that we would see America come and go. Are we prepared to face the truth? I have on my website, for your viewers that don't, or your listeners that don't know me and perhaps have never been there, my website is www.danielholdings.com, DanielHoldings, danielholdings.com. And I have a slogan on my website. The slogan is, the search for truth takes courage. The search for truth takes courage. And one of the things that I say on one of the pages in there is that I don't care where the truth's from. I want to see it. I want to examine it. I want to shake it to see if it's right or not. And, you know, we cannot afford as a civilization, as a people, to stand back and accept those things that we are being dished out of from the news media or television or politicians or pundits or even school teachers that tell us a certain way to think or a certain way to act or a certain way to look. We can't afford to live like that anymore. We have to open our eyes and we have to wake up, because if we don't, we will wake up to rising waters and will be ill-prepared for what's coming upon us. And so, I so much appreciate you speaking about these prophecies and the things that are going on in the Native American community.
Truth. You know, the thing is with the prophecies, it's just like the old prophecies. God, you know, God deals with people through different things, earth changes and all these things. Now, he also says in the Bible that if you humble yourself and pray and turn yourself to him, that he would intercede for us. Now, I honestly believe that God means what he says. He's not a man that he's going to lie to you. Now, men don't always do or say what they really mean. You know, they're men. But God's God. I mean, he's capable of stopping anything. You know, he stopped, Jonah and Nineveh, and, you know, interceding, you know, for these things. This is kind of like having a warning at your fingertips to read, to look, to taste stuff, to see where it's coming from. Now, you know, the Indians, they had different prophecies, and they were practically annihilated here in America. So America does have some blood on her hands even here, even though we're proud to be Americans, and most Indians are too. Now, you know, you look back through history, God usually judges a nation for what happens in generations. And, you know, sometimes we don't like to see the truth. I'm like you, but I want to know what's out there. I want to know what he's doing. And to me, God's all truth. He's the only one that can tell the truth. And so I want to know what he's doing. I don't care what vehicle he uses to get my attention. You know, it's just that I want to know where he's coming from. I think right now that we are coming into earth changes. Actually, a lot of the dreams and visions that we're having now are speaking about different things. You know, they've had warnings of pole shift, and I'm not sure that we're not coming into some of this right now because of some of the visions that have been given to us over the time that we're in now. I believe God's trying to get our attention. I think that wars are man's just evil. You know, he's always got something up his sleeve trying to gain power. And, you know, here we're coming into, like the Hopi said, you know, the warning signs will be this third world war, and that with this gourd of ashes, so to speak, will be the first sign will be this war, which will be brought on, like with the nation of Africa, different nations, the ones that had the first light, you know, all those foreign nations that we're now having turmoil with. And, you know, very well we could, but, you know, if people would humble themselves and turn to God and pray, maybe God would, you know, intercede for us. Now, it could be that he wants it to happen and it's going to happen anyway. But, you know, if you know God and you know that personal relationship with him, then you are safer knowing God. Either way, whatever happens to you, whether you go through it or whether you die trying to go through it, either way, you're safe. So, you know, that's my idea of what the prophecies, even in the Bible, you know, and I've read a lot of different prophecies from the ancient people, you know, even not Indians. Mother Shipton, I've read some of hers and some of the other ones. I don't take them lightly because I believe that God uses things to warn people. And dreams and visions from even people now. You know, I don't know how many dreams I've had lately of even things in my own personal life that God tries to deal with me on. And so I don't throw them aside lightly. But ultimately, God's in charge. And so I would like the audience to really think about their prayer life, their lives of how they're living, what's going on in their lives, and that they could actually have a close personal relationship with the Lord where when he directed them to do something that they would be obedient enough to do it and, you know, to listen to him regardless of how silly it sounds to them. You know, sometimes he'll have us do things that we would, you know, personally, we wouldn't do. But, you know, it's not anything evil, but it's, you know, what I'm saying. He will do it for our protection. And so we need to have an ear to hear what the voice of the Lord is saying to us. And so that's what I think anyway.
Oh, I think you're right. And, you know, I've heard your husband, Larry, lament over this. You know, he'll get people asking, well, because people, well, for those that may be new to the preparation movement, you know, this expectation of something about to happen. There is that expectation. They don't know if it's going to happen as a result of the election or after the election or whatever the case may be. And it really doesn't have to do anything with, you know, the Mayans in 2012. It has everything to do with the way the world is right now. And so we have this situation where people are wondering what they should do, and more importantly, where they should go. And, you know, I've heard Larry say on more than one occasion, I have these people ask me, and I tell them, don't ask me, ask God. Don't talk to me about it, talk to God about it. And, you know, I've heard other people say that as well. Steve Quayle says it, you know, Ellie Martin says it. I heard these guys say it. The guys that are on the radio, they're watchers, this is what they do, and they have people asking them what they should do. When you are absolutely right, Garnett, the thing that they should be doing is asking God what to do. Because here's the thing. I love your husband. He's a great guy. He knows the news. He's smart. You know, he's a watcher.
Sure.
But he's not omnipotent.
No, far from it.
He doesn't know what's coming. He doesn't know. He can guess what's coming based upon, you know, the things he sees.
Right.
But only God stands outside of time. God created time, so therefore he doesn't have to operate in time. He stands outside of time. And he knows the word says that he knows the beginning from the end. And if there was ever a time that you needed to be on your face before God and saying, what should I do, and expect an answer from him, it's right now because of all these things that, you know, all these things that we're talking about. You know, it's interesting. In the course of preparing for the show today, one of the things that I did is I looked back at some of Red Elk's prophecies.
Sure.
And it was really interesting because I don't know if you remember this, but last week, I think it was, maybe not even last week, maybe just a couple of days ago. And in fact, I know you know about this because it was in Oklahoma. I think that's where I heard that big pile up on the roads there.
Oh, yes. As
a result of this dust storm, right?
Right. That's true. Yes.
That boggled my mind because they showed footage of it on the news, and you saw these huge swaths of dust just going across the road. It was amazing. And, you know, one of the things that Red Elk said is that he saw, and he calls it his great vision. He saw in his great vision a drought that was so bad, and it was so hot, and it was so windy that there was not any green whatsoever. Now, Darnell, I know you guys live in Oklahoma, right?
Sure.
Is it like that right now in Oklahoma?
Well, let me tell you, we have gone through a drought right now that is very dry. Some of the trees are dying, the oak trees. The oak trees have great roots. Pine trees are dying. They never die. Right now we're dealing with winds that are just outstanding. We live on a mountain. But, I mean, we have the winds that are just blow and blow and blow. And, you know, sometimes you feel like the house is going to come apart. Hello?
No, I'm here.
Okay, I couldn't hear. But anyway, the winds are just... Sometimes 50, 60 mile an hour winds. I mean, they're just blowing everything off the deck. I go around picking things up when I get home. And it's just unbelievable. And so I was not really surprised at the dust storm. I'm just wondering if we're not going to have another dust bowl in Oklahoma. Because, you know, these things happen. And, you know, God prepares us for this stuff. But that's why, you know, people should be not only in a preparation mode in the natural, but they should be in a preparation mode in the spiritual. Because every day, it may not be everybody's last day, but it might be yours. And you need to have that relationship with the Lord to where you can be safe, you know, safe in His arms or safe, you know, if you live through it. We don't know what's coming, but He does. And like you said, He operates outside of time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the other thing that Red Elk had said about his great vision was that he saw an uprising of locusts and insects. That these locusts, he called them Texas locusts. So they were pretty, but they were huge.
Right.
I heard they grow everything big in Texas. They probably pick you up and take you away. But, you know, the thing that happens after a drought, the thing that happens, you know, when these insects can't find food is that they begin to multiply and move throughout the land. And because we have had, you know, technology, we've been able to keep these things at bay. But what happens when technology begins to break down. You know, there's an interesting show on television now. It's called Revolution. And I like it. I don't know if you've seen it or not. But Revolution has is a show based upon the premise that all the electricity, all the power over all the world goes away. Just goes away. Goes out, goes away. And they're thrown back into this time, you know, before the Industrial Revolution. They do things by hand and have to use horses. You know, there's these militias that have taken over the land. And, you know, what would happen if we had a time like that? Now, your listeners are going, wait a minute, Dan. That's really far-fetched. You must be a science fiction writer. Yes, I am a science fiction writer. But did you know that scientists from NASA, one of their greatest concerns right now is a solar flare, an X flare, that is so powerful. It may not burn the Earth right off the bat, but it could knock out our whole electrical grid. And it wouldn't come back, they say, for years.
Sure.
Now, that you don't need a science fiction show, you know, Revolution, to picture that. Just a solar flare that was, in fact, and this is also in the new book. I think it's in 1872, I want to say, or something like that. There was a solar flare so strong that, granted, it was before electricity. What they used to communicate with back then was they used I can't remember the word now.
The telegraph?
Thank you, Dorothy.
Telegraph. There you go.
a telegraph. And the induction caused by these solar flares was so strong that they didn't have to plug them in or nothing, that these things would run all by themselves. And that the electricity in the air was so, and it was causing these telegraph houses to catch fire. So,
sure,
and that was a solar flare. It was an X flare. It was the strongest flare in recorded history. Now, that was, it must have been in the late 1800s, 1890 or something, because they had some concept of electricity. So the point is that it wouldn't take a whole lot. In fact, there's another part in the new book where it talks about this. They're very concerned about the sun in that new book. I'll just let you know about that. But one of the things that they are concerned about is there was a solar flare back in 2004 or 2005. I may have the dates wrong. But it was the strongest solar flare on record. It was an X-45 flare. An X is the biggest flare you can get. Now, there's a C-class flare, an N-class flare, and then an X flare. You don't want to see an X flare, but, you know, just a low number X flare is not a good thing. But this was an X-45 flare. It was so big that they had to recalculate how they measured flares. Because it went too high for them. So they said, and this flare wasn't Earth-facing. In fact, if it would have hit just 3 months later, the Earth would have went through there. It would have burned the Earth. Now, that's our sun belching out solar flares. It would have at least fried our electrical system. So for those of you that think we're just a bunch of doom and gloom and crazy, no, these things are entirely possible because they can happen, and scientists are worried about those things right now. And so my point is that, you know, we are in this mode of preparation. We don't know what's going to happen, but there's this general feeling, this consensus that something is looming, something is about to happen. So you have this whole industry, this whole genre of preparation or preppers that have come to the forefront of things, and people are, you know, trying to figure out, you know, I love, there's a show on Discovery, it's called Modern Day Preppers or something like that. I you know, I've seen it before and I watch it once in a while. And it's interesting because at the beginning of the show, they'll ask people what they're preparing for. And they'll say, you know, I'm preparing for the financial collapse. I'm preparing for a world war. I'm preparing for a solar flare. So you have these people, all these people, that are preparing for something. They don't know what exactly, but they know it's not good, and they want to be ready when it comes. So,
yes.
So there is something to this, but, you know, you can take a gamble and prepare for anything. You know, just prepare. Do something and prepare.
Sure.
Because it's a smart thing to do. Or you can go to the God that lives outside of time and talk to him about what you should be doing.
That's
at
right.
At the very least, you will develop a relationship with him. Notice I didn't say you'll get religious with him because I don't think he likes religion either. But you'll develop a relationship with him, and at the very least, he will give you peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding at a time when the world is going absolutely bonkers. And, you know, if you don't think that the world's going bonkers, well, first of all, if you're watching mainstream media, you really don't know that the world's going bonkers because they're not telling you. But let me assure you, the world is not what you think it is, audience. The world is, in fact, coming apart at the seams. And we don't even realize it because we're not told these things on a regular basis. Again, your audience is probably going, darn it, that guy's crazy. See, I love talking to you, Leslie, because we're both crazy. So we play off. But,
well,
you know.
I'll tell you, you're right.
just today, and I haven't confirmed these reports, but I have saw them, and I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't want to say this is happening for sure because I have to confirm it. I didn't take a lot of time to do that today. But I heard a report that there were several explosions heard at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant reactor number four, and that's the plant that they were concerned about, the fuel rods collapsing and catching on fire. Now,
I believe that is not correct because I think someone put it on there and took some stuff out and made it to a hoax, unless something happened after they took it off. But the thing was, that could very well happen because it's very unstable there.
It's truly unstable, and that's why I prefaced the comment that I don't know, I didn't confirm it. However,
yeah.
what I can confirm is that thing still is leaking radiation.
Sure.
Like crazy. And, see, you're not hearing that on the 6 o'clock news at night. They're just not talking about it. But it doesn't mean that it's not polluting the atmosphere, the same air that you and I'm in California, so, you know, we're probably breathing some of it here. But,
you would get it first.
You know, I read somewhere a few weeks ago that they took the registered levels of cesium in tuna off the coast of California. They were something like, I don't know, 120 times what they should have been in tuna.
Oh, my. Mm-mm.
Yeah. I've been eating tuna a long time. The point is, okay, it doesn't need to be a cataclysmic disaster to not be serious. This is a serious thing. And all the while, you know, we sleep. Americans are Americans are great for sleep. We just don't want to wake up. We want to go back and watch football, or we want to watch Dancing with the Stars, or we got shopping to do, or we got to make our dinner, or we got to work, or whatever the case may be. But we don't really want to look at what's really going on in the world. You know, one other thing that's scary that's going on right now is what's happening in the Middle East. And, you know, Turkey and Syria last week were shelling each other, literally shelling each other. Now, that's a precipice for war. That's a preface, yeah. I should say, for war. You know, Syria had shot down a couple of Turkish planes. They've shot over into Turkey. Now, you know, Syria didn't have any beef with Turkey until this whole thing started. Now, for those of you that don't understand this, Turkey is an ally. They're part of NATO. And let me paint a scenario. If Iran helped Syria against Turkey, then we would be obliged by our agreement with
Treaty.
Them.
Yeah.
To come to their defense. Now, and that's not even talking about Israel.
Mm-mm.
You know, Iran talks about wiping Israel off the face of the earth every other day, practically.
Right.
So, you know, this is a dangerous time that we live in, and it's a dangerous world. In fact, something interesting. I don't know. Did you happen to watch any of the presidential debate last night?
Oh yes, I watched the whole thing.
Well, you know, I started watching it. But I wanted to keep my television. I really liked my television, so I wanted to keep it. And if I kept watching, I knew I was going to throw something at the television.
Yeah.
So I could only film so much, and I had to put it away. But you know, one of the things that the whole debate was supposed to be about foreign affairs, and it bled over into, you know, other issues to the economy.
Sure.
One of the things that struck me, I was in the service in the 80s during the Cold War.
Sure.
And, you know, one of the things that the president said to the governor, he said that the Cold War's been over for 20 years, governor. In other words, you're out of touch. You don't know what's going on. Now, I'm not here to say both for one person over another. I'm just kind of parroting what was already said last night. But the thing is, it is correct that the Cold War was over, you know, 20 years ago or longer.
Right.
But isn't it interesting that just last week, Russia said that they would not re-sign the treaty, the nuclear arms treaty that we have with them.
They would
not re-sign it. Now, folks,
let
me ask you, why would they not re-sign it? If the Cold War is over and there's nothing to fear and we just need to get our economy back to ticking and not worry about it, why would they not re-sign it? I mean, we already have enough nuclear weapons to blow up the earth several times over. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So what is now, they're ticked off because of our Star Wars program. They didn't want us to put one over Europe. And they sure don't want us to develop it any further here in the States. But why would that bother them? Well, theoretically that bothers them because we could use it offensively and take them out. But if you, and I love this last night, Rami said to the president, said something to the effect of, well, you know, we need something more than you saying you'll do something about the treaty after you're reelected, because for those that don't know, there was an instance just a few months ago where the president was sitting with the prime minister, not Putin, his second command, and he said to him, you know, I can't do anything now, but when I get reelected, you know, in November, I'll be able to do more about the Star Wars tree. And so, you know, for people that are asleep, just because, you know, this is not the 80s and we don't hear the kind of issues that we hear about nuclear proliferation that we did back then, it doesn't mean that it's going on. It's not going on. What it means is you're not hearing about it. So the question should be, why aren't you hearing about it? Why don't you hear these things on the mainstream media? Why is it that you are lulled to sleep to think that everything's fine? Because folks,
Putin actually this last week had a big arms display and was showing off their power. That's what was going on there.
Hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
Yeah, he did. He had that. And, you know, Daniel, you know, I think that there's a lot more going on. I don't know if you've ever watched the show 24.
I love that show.
I do, too. It's one of my favorites.
It was a sad day when we took it off, I tell you.
Well, I think they had the reasons. But anyway.
Yeah, too close to the truth, probably.
I think that we have some of these incidents going on all the time. We're just not privy to that information. Now, every one of us lives in a world of our own design, you know, what our likes and dislikes are. A lot of the things that are going on, mainstream media is not going to put out there because of the truth. The only one I've ever heard say anything, this Judge Napolitano, he told
right.
them on there, he said, if you knew what both parties were doing, you know, it's all about power. Now, we're going to get there. Now, I kind of believe that maybe God's got his hand on Mitt Romney right now to use it as he does. You know, sometimes God, it doesn't matter, sometimes God uses people that we wouldn't even think he would use. And, you know, sometimes he can use a man that's not perfectly right. I know Mitt's of probably a Mormon faith. I don't even know what that consists of. But I know that sometimes God will put a ruler in to hold off things for just a little while. Now, you know, I truly believe at this time, myself, now this doesn't mean I'm trying to persuade anybody or anything, but I believe he's trying to use Mitt Romney to give this nation a little space of time. I don't know if this is going to work or not because people are very disobedient. And even if he dealt with them to vote him in, I don't know if they would. But we'll see. You know, but I think that people should humble themselves and ask the Lord what he wants them to do and truly, truly pray about it. Because, you know, personally, I'm too old to fight, I mean, to run. I'd have to stand there and fight because there's no other way for me.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about prophecies, Indian prophecies, speaking of Mitt Romney. Yeah, you know, I know a little something about Mormonism, and I have serious problems with it. I have issues with about Mormons. I'm just talking about the Bible as it stands. I have issues with Mormonism.
Sure.
Now, that
sure.
said... That said, there is a Mormon prophecy of all things, and it says that a Mormon will rise to the top of the America's power echelons to the presidency and save the Constitution.
Hmm.
That's what it says.
Interesting.
So
I've never heard that.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear it until a couple of.
I think it's called the White Horse Prophecy.
That's,
you want to look
that's
it up?
What it is. That's what it is. The White Horse
yeah.
Prophecy.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And as a matter of fact, Darnett, I know that you've heard Larry speak about Barry Rothman before, but Barry
sure.
Rothman came out. For your audience that doesn't know him, Barry Rothman is probably the expert in America where the Torah code is concerned. The Torah,
sure.
obviously, is the first five books of the Bible. The Torah code is a code, if you will, hidden, embedded in the Torah, and it hasn't been until the advent of the computer that they can actually find these codes, and they're not willy-nilly. You can't just pull something out of there. It's a very scientific means to find these things, but it is very interesting to see modern-day news embedded in the Torah. So nothing really takes – and the Torah, for those of you who don't know, is almost 3,500 years old. It's old. It didn't come around yesterday. The Torah is really old. And so to see modern news in the Torah, embedded in the Torah, is very interesting. By the way, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, my first book, happened to be in the Torah code. That was amazing. Larry did that. That was amazing to me that it was there. So that should tell you something about the kind of content that's in there. God gave me that book. It's not me. I'm just a donkey. But it is interesting to see that. Anyway, Barry Rothman came out with a new Torah code just yesterday, and I'm on my computer looking for it. But it was interesting because why can't I find it? It was interesting because it predicts that Romney will win the election. That's what it said. Mm-hmm. Now, I have said that I didn't think that there would be an election. This is what Daniel said. I had a feeling that there wouldn't be an election, that there would be martial law before that, and that the election would be suspended. And if that were the case, that means that things would begin to develop very, very quickly. But, Garnett, if I hear you right, what you're saying is that it could be possible that God would choose a man like Romney to give us more time, regardless of his religious persuasion, that he would choose a man like Romney to give us more time. More time for what, you might ask?
To repent.
Exactly. He took the words right out of my mouth, Dorothy. Time to repent. You know, that's a nasty word. We don't like using that word. Most churches these days are what they call user-friendly, seeker-friendly. They don't like using that word because that word means that I am in the wrong some way. And don't tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me I'm in sin. I don't want to have to repent. Right? Tell me how loving Jesus is. Tell me how loving God is, that everything's okay, and, you know, he'll get me a better job and I can, you know, I can get a new car or keep my house or whatever. You know, no, things are bad.
Yeah.
But God's not my sugar daddy.
No.
He does not. Getting back to the prophecies, it's interesting. I'm going to mess this up. I know it. But the Hopi call him the one creator, or the Kunkashila is what they call him, or the grandfather.
Kachina?
No, they call him the Kunkashila.
Oh, okay.
It means grandfather. So there's one God, and he loves us. He loves us more than we could possibly imagine. He sent his only son for us. He sent himself for us to die on a cross, right?
Right.
And he will do everything to lead us to himself so that we would give our life to him, so that we would walk in his ways and do those things that he would want us to do. But there comes a time that he can't wait any longer because he sees our hearts as individuals and our hearts as a country are turned against him and his desire is to draw us back to him. So the question is, when it comes to this next election, is this next election his way of giving us more time to draw us back to him, Or is this election about the end? The thing that will bring about the end of time? Because, you know, it says in Matthew 24 that when you see these things, Jesus said, they are birth pains. In other words, what happens, you know, what happens about birth pains? When do birth pains happen? Birth pains are at the beginning of birth. It's not the birth. It's not the actual time when a baby comes out. It's the notice that, hey, something is about to happen. That's your body, a woman's body, saying something is about to happen. And what I believe we are seeing now are those birth pains.
Sure.
That something is about to happen. So the question is, will God give us more time with the Mitt Romney? That's the question. And I don't know. I don't know that I'm like you.
I don't know either.
I'm not suggesting you vote for one guy over the other, although one guy certainly sounds like he couldn't hurt us. Couldn't hurt any worse than it already does.
There was also a prophecy about Obama, you know, before he got in his office, it came out of Kenya, Africa, son of Kenya. And it was a prophecy about a Kenyan that would rise to power in the United States government and what he would do for Africa through that presidency. And absolutely, I don't know if you've ever read it. It's called the Lua Dreamer's Odyssey. And it speaks of that rise to power and the power that's behind it. I found it very interesting that there's a Mormon that has a prophecy about him, too. I'm going to do some more research, I guess.
We have dueling prophecies here. And, you know, again, it just goes to show that, you know, people need to hear from God themselves. They really do.
That's right. Yeah.
Now more than ever. Because there's so many confusing things that are going on in the world right now.
Right.
You need to be so close. And I always say this, when every chance I may be a fictional writer, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. The things that are happening in the world, that's not fiction. You know, Daniel Holding's books, you know, those are fiction. They're interesting. But the things that are really happening in the world right now, that's not fiction. You know, let me tell you something. If the Middle East will blow up, and it's about to. In fact, I think we could be looking at an October surprise within the next couple of weeks. If, in fact, that happens, all bets are off. Because, you know, I don't know, I'm 50, so I wasn't around during World War II, but I heard stories of what happened during World War II, how that war took every ounce of energy, every ounce of raw material that this country had. So I can only imagine that a third world war would be the same, although I think a third world war would be really short. Which brings us back to your prophecy that you were talking about a few minutes ago. Because have you ever heard of Dmitri Duderman? You've heard
Dmitri Duderman. Yes, sure have.
Dmitri Duderman. He's gone now, but he had a few conversations with the Yeshua and or an angel, and he saw the United States, and because we live here, this is what we're talking about, the United States. He saw the United States being rained upon with nuclear bombs.
Right.
He's not the only one.
No.
He's not the only one.
No.
So if in fact that happens, meaning if in fact the Middle East goes off, if that happens, then things could get very serious very quickly. And, you know, there's there have been reports, and I don't have all the details in front of me because I didn't intend on talking about it, but there have been reports that, and this is public information, that there was just a few weeks ago, there was a joint exercise up in Colorado, the Denver area, with the Russian Spetsnaz troops,
sure,
special forces, that were, now this is the crazy thing, and for the life of me, I don't know why this doesn't sound strange to anybody else. You had special forces, Spetsnaz troops, Russian special forces, parachute into the Denver airport area, which, for those that don't know this, the headquarters to the CIA that was once in Langley, the headquarters to the NSA, they've been moved to Denver. So in case you didn't know that, Denver's high ground. So, but they had this exercise where these Spetsnaz troops were trained with American arms. They were trained with American small arms. And they were tasked with holding the airport against an invader until the U.S. troops arrived. Now, does that sound crazy to anybody else but me? Why?
No.
Would they have Russian troops guarding an American airport and with using American arms and not giving it up until fighting against some unforeseen invaders and not giving up until the federal government gets there? And they're still here. There have been reports that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that we're coming into a one-world government, and actually we're trying to be so friendly that everybody is on one of these here, politically correct things. Everybody's got to be included because we're so friendly. We're great friends. Well, I'm going to tell you something about a bullet. It doesn't know which gun it comes from, a Russian or an American. And they'll kill just as easily one way or the other. But actually, Larry and I had a Russian gunship, go over our house. It's been about, 3 weeks ago, Larry?
Wow.
I think. And fully armed, but it was definitely Russian.
Wow.
Yeah, it was an eye-opener.
People hear this stuff, and they go, you people are crazy. No.
Yep.
This is the stuff that's happening, and we're not here. There have been reports that there are Russians up north in Montana. You know, Steve Quayle told the story about how he had somebody, a drone, follow him. And he
sure.
said he lives in Bozeman. He had a drone follow him. Just let him know, hey, we know where you are. We know how to get you, right?
Exactly.
There have been reports that there are Russian troops down and Chinese troops down in Mexico. And in fact,
Arkansas?
I've seen video to that effect. You know, so there is something brewing, and I don't know what for the life of me it is exactly. I'm not here to say I have all the answers, but I am telling you, listeners, that this is a dangerous world. This is a dangerous time. And you have, you know, you have the Hopi, and you have the Cherokee, you have the Choctaw, all saying that something is going to happen to the United States. And we have, you know, foreign troops on our own soil. But in fact, the crazy thing is, even those things that we see, we don't want to believe. Because, okay, so this other stuff could be French stuff, it could be, you know, conspiracy stuff, but on a Los Angeles television station, a mainstream Los Angeles television station, they were showing Black Hawk helicopters in downtown L.A. having night maneuvers, you know, dropping off special forces in the middle of the city and taking off again. Now, why in the world would they be doing that sort of thing? I don't understand. Unless something is brewing that we... you know, we don't know about. So it's just, you know, Darnette, this is these are interesting times we live in. I mean, they really, really are.
Right. And, you know, if we listen to the Lord, he'll give us a clue. Now, mainstream media is not going to, because the only news we get that is really real is from people that really are listening and hearing and, you know, trying to get ready for whatever. I know people think that some of us are totally crazy. Well, that's where you learn to walk with the Lord. And you are a peculiar people when you do that, because you're not going to follow the mainstream. And, you know, a lot of the churches are not preparing the people for this. I don't know, but I've really had a real foreboding of the Muslims taking over this country. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this old gal don't look good in a burqa. And she'd get her head cut off right quick because I talk too much. And really, you know, the thing is, they don't exactly believe like we do. The women are nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. They're not treated like women, some of these here. The real bad guys like Al-Qaeda and all that, they don't care about their women. They're just property. And the younger they get them, the better they like them. They have 5 and 6 wives, you know. What's one less? You know, and even, you know, it's a total different concept of life than what we would consider. Now, I don't care if they do that in their country. I hate to see women treated like that, and I believe they have rights, but I don't want it to be here in America, because we can't help those if we're taken over by this kind of situation or by Russia. You know, who knows what's really going on. But I think if you're obedient and you seek the Lord and you pray, and I think he'll give you a warning. Now, you got to be obedient. You got to listen when you pray. That's the big thing, is listening. And I think a lot of people, they throw a prayer out there, me, mine, mine, protect us, Lord, but they don't listen. They don't stay there long enough to listen. And it's like I used to have a little niece that would say, we're going to stay here and pray until we get an answer from the Lord if it takes 2 or 3 days. And I should tell her family that. Well, I think this is where people need to be. You need to be able to sit down and listen, have your quiet time, read your Bible. Don't depend on some man to tell you everything. Depend on the Lord to tell you what you need to know, because he can show you things, and if you've got an eye to see and an ear to hear, then you'll know the truth. But go ahead, that's Daniel.
I was just going to say that's absolutely right. You know, you were talking about Muslims, and, you know, the thing about Islam is that in the Quran, it says that you will convert the Jew, or you will actually it says you'll kill the Jew, or and people of the book, that would be us, or you will kill them. There's
sure.
Not an in between. It's not, you know, we hear this phrase all the time, radical Islam. Right, we hear that phrase, radicalism, and you know, that the way that phrase is used, it's to make us think, well, wait a minute, not all, and it goes back to what you were saying, Darnette, about politically correct. The way that the phrase is used, it's like they want us to believe that not all Islam is bad.
Right.
You know, that's what they want us to believe. Now, I will grant you that most, I would think most Muslims are not terrorists, but what
right.
The Quran says is what the Quran says. I'm not reading into that. You know, there's something called the Shahada. The Shahada is something that every good Muslim will say, and it is this, that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad his messenger. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't leave room for... Now, we can say there is no God but Yahweh, and I declare that right now on this radio station, that there is no
sure.
God but Yahweh.
Right.
And Jesus, his son, his
Christ. Right.
However, the difference between my declaration and the declaration of the Shahada is that in the Quran, it says that you'll have to kill people if they don't convert. Nowhere
That's
in
right.
the Bible does it say that. It doesn't say that in the Bible. So
yeah.
here's the problem. The Quran and Islam is bent on world domination. And they don't say it like that. What they say
mm-hmm.
is that they want everyone to be converted. And
yeah.
your fear or your concern about them coming here is valid.
I know.
because it is already... There's something called Sharia law. And Sharia law is law based upon the Quran.
Sure.
And what we are seeing is that even in communities like Florida, in Florida, communities in Michigan, Detroit, communities other places in on the East Coast, Sharia law is creeping into city government. Now, how can
what?
This be? How can this be in the United States? Because, you know, it's a war of attrition. It is drip, drip, drip until there's enough water to make a flood. So
right.
the idea for those listeners that are saying, that can never happen here, darn it. It can never happen here, Daniel. It has already happened here, folks.
Yes.
You don't realize it because it's happening so quietly and so subtly. And if you ask me, well, how can I even say that? I will say this, because our own president adheres to this dogma of Islam. Now, that sounds inflammatory. Inflammatory, you say. You know, I was on the radio last week. I think it was on your show, Dorothy, and one of the things that I pointed out, it was flabbergasting to me. I read that day that there was Barack Obama, they used to call him Barry back then, Barry Obama, when he was a student at Harvard in the early 80s, long before he ever met Michelle, used to wear a ring on his wedding finger, and he wasn't married. And his fellow students and his friends would ask him about this, and he just kind of blew them off without explaining to them. Well, somebody had taken a picture of his hand that it was in, and they blew it up. And what they found is this ring had the beginning of the Shahada on it. And it said that there is no God but Allah. Now,
yeah.
folks, if you don't think that we are in the midst of an invasion, you know, then you're asleep and you want to go back to sleep. Because that is exactly what's happening right now. And, you know, I'm not even saying, this is not a political show. We're not saying you should vote for this guy over this guy. I'm telling you the facts. The fact is, and there's been these reports, you know, all along that he had the president had Muslim leanings. Well, you know, what more do you have to say? There are pictures when he was young, when he was, you know, dressed as a Muslim, saying Muslim prayers. He's a Muslim. There's nothing else to say. He is a Muslim. A Muslim is in the White House. Okay. Oh, and then we have Sharia law that's creeping into our town. Now, this, I can't tell you when, you know, Christians will be beheaded. I can't tell you that. I don't know when. But I'm telling you this is the foundation for that. Because, let me give you another example, and this is to a lesser degree an example, but I just read yesterday that the the UN will have international observers at our elections, our presidential elections.
That's correct.
Now, why does the UN need to? We are the bedrock of democracy. Why does the UN need to be at our election? Unless something else is going on. Unless there's a different agenda here. So this is the way I look at it. One way or another, may not be this year, may not be next year, may not be 5 years from now or 10 years from now, or even 20 years from now. I have to think it's a lot less than that. But soon, this is a war of attrition. They will continue to do what they do to bring in Sharia law, to bring in Islam into the United States, to bring in this mindset until they are successful. It's the way that they work. But we Christians, we want to go back to sleep. We'll punch our clock, you know, on Sundays. We'll go to church on Sunday. We might read our Bible if we get desperate or bored. We might cry out to God if we lose our job or lose our house or something else. But we just assume sleep. Folks, we started this show by saying this is a dangerous world. There are things, I don't care if you're talking about ending prophecies. I don't care if you're talking about Christian prophecies. You could talk about Mayan prophecies. There are things coming to this world that make it a very, very dangerous place. And your only solace, your only rescue is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him, I'm not talking about did you go to church, did you pay your tithe, you know, did you sit your butt in the pew? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a personal relationship with him. And if you don't know him, this crazy world, this dangerous world that's coming upon us, this is the time that you need to know him. This is the time that you need to talk to him. You know, the word says that my sheep, it's one of my favorite verses, my sheep know my voice and to another they will not listen. If there's any time that you need to listen to God and to know his voice, it's now. Because Darnett can't tell you, Daniel can't tell you, Dorothy can't tell you, the watchman can't tell you, we can't tell you where to go. Only the Lord can tell you where to go. Only God can tell you where your safety is. Actually, your safety is in him. Your rest is in him. Your shelter is in him, regardless of what comes. But if in a time when we need direction, like we've never needed direction before, because of the things that are coming upon the earth, this is the time that you need to know Jesus. You need to know him. It's not a time to be playing around and say, well, that's good for you. I know, you know, I believe in God. I believe in God. You know, the word says that you do well to believe in him because the devil believes in him. The devil, the demons believe in him, and they fear him. It's not enough just to believe in him. Do you know him? You have to know him. You know, I don't know what my life would be like. Granted, I'm a fictional writer. Things I write, they're fun stuff. Dorothy, you read my books. Are they fun?
Yes, they were. Well, fun.
They weren't fun.
I wouldn't say fun. They were good, but I don't know about fun.
Well, I'll tell you, Daniel, I started your second book that we've got, and just reading it, and I wanted to look at it, and Larry handed it to me, and I started reading it. Now, you don't know me. It has to be pretty darn exciting to hold my attention, and I started it, I think, night before last, and I've got about 7 or 8 chapters for it. So, I'm on a roll with that book. So but I'm going to take the other one to work with me that we have in the belly of the beast. I'm going to take that with me because you recommended it, and I'm going to read it. And but like I told everybody earlier, they need to get a pre-order out there for them. They need to request that they get a copy as soon as it comes off the press, because definitely. I'm enjoying the first part of it, and I know the rest of it will probably be very exciting.
Well, for those that hear this, the book's not out yet. Darnett's talking about the next book, As the Darkness Falls. That book's not out yet, but her husband Larry was kind enough to pre-read the book for me. I wanted his opinion. And so we, as authors do, I sent a manuscript to him, and that's what she's referring to. She's referring to the raw manuscript that she has. Now, the book will hopefully be out within the next couple of weeks. And my wife said, wouldn't it be great if that book came out right around Halloween?
It would be.
That would be very interesting because, if I could describe the book to you, for those people that don't know, on the cover of the book, it's some scary letters with yellow letters on a black background that says, "As the darkness falls," and that there are these two demon eyes that are staring at over the earth. If that isn't scary, I don't know what it is. But that's the book, and it's not out yet. But I mentioned that because I write and I try to write things that God gives me. These books are entertainment. They're fun. They're based upon truth, though. There's stories in there. There's stories and scientific facts in there that are true. And I mentioned this X-45 class flare that really happened, and the concern about an X flare is real. It's not so. Anyway, the Lord gives me these things, and I put them in this. And by the way, so you understand, it's not necessarily a Christian book, audience. That's, if you think you're going to pick this book up and it's going to be preaching at you, Dorothy, is that what the book is? Is it a Christian preaching book?
No. In fact, for Christians, it's a great way to hand it to your friends and have them think more seriously about becoming a Christian.
Well, in fact, I would say that there are things in those books that challenge Christians. That challenge the way you believe.
Absolutely.
I went to Bible college. That's a little known fact. I went to Bible college for about 3 years. And I always say that Bible college ruined me. This was years ago. I always say it ruined me because I saw the business end of church. It was great. It was a great denomination. I'm not going to say which one it was. Great denominational Bible college. I mean, great people there. I was an older student, and I'd already been in the military, and, I learned how to study the Word of God, and that was really cool, because that's really what I wanted. I learned a little bit of Greek, a little bit of Hebrew, and so I learned, about what it meant to study. But I always say that Bible college ruined me because I saw the business end of things. I saw the... And, here's the thing. What we are talking about, folks, we're not talking about church. I'm not even necessarily talking about Christian. Sometimes I don't even like using that title. Right? I'll call myself a believer. Because there are things that are taught to the church as gospel, if you will, not the gospel, not the gospel that Christ brought. But there are things that are taught from the pulpit that aren't right. They're not true. And they're just taught over and over and over again. Now, the tenet of our faith, who Christ is, what he did on the cross, why he came, his blood that covers our sin and makes for our forgiveness, these things are true. What I'm talking about is the history or the tradition. And one of the things in because I say this a lot, and I didn't always think this, folks. One of the things that I say is that, you know, our faith as believers is based in the Bible, the Word, which is the inerrant Word of God, by the way. It is the truth. So it's not, I don't have an issue with the Bible, per se. But I always say, at least I say these days, that the basis for our faith is more Jewish than it is Western. Now let me qualify that. Jesus was a Jew. He was Jewish.
Right.
He practiced Judaism. The day he was crucified was on Passover. That is the feast. That's a feast. That's a Jewish feast. Jesus, the word says that Jesus, Yeshua, was our Passover lamb. He was the sacrifice that the Jewish high priest would normally give, you know, on the altar. But God provided the perfect Lamb of God in Jesus and sacrificed him for us. But yet, I'm getting back to why I got an issue with some of the things that are taught today or our culture. But yet, what do we practice the crucifixion to be, or that day? We have Palm Sunday, right? And then we have Easter, right? And we make this out to be this great religious holiday, this great Christian holiday. Easter, from the god Esther, it's a pagan holiday.
That's right.
I found out something very distressing about where the Easter, the colored Easter eggs came from. I can't get this out of my head, that they used to sacrifice babies, and they would color the eggs with the blood of the sacrificed babies.
Wow.
And that's why the colored eggs.
Why? Well, I've never heard that, Dorothy, but it wouldn't surprise me, because, you know, they did sacrifice to ask the god Esther. The point is that Esther or Easter has nothing to do with Yeshua. It has nothing to do with the Lamb that God gave us. Nothing. And yet we as Christians, right? I'm getting back to the reason why I have some issues with the Christian culture. We as Christians celebrate this. Like it's and I'm not saying don't celebrate it. Folks, that's not what I'm saying, okay? What I'm saying is that when you celebrate it, you remember what God did. It's not about bunnies. It's not about eggs. It's not about Easter egg hunts and ham or turkey at the dinner table. That's not what it's about. It's about the fact that God sent his only begotten Son for you and for me, and he was sacrificed on the cross for a final atonement for our sin. That's what it's about. And that holiday is more based upon, you know, this pagan culture than it is about the Jewish roots where it should come from. And, you know, and we talk about, don't get me started on Christmas. Christ wasn't born in the wintertime. He just wasn't. And there was no Christmas tree around with lights and stuff. But my
We're
point
down
is
to
that,
15 minutes. We're down to 15
okay.
minutes.
Thank you, Dorothy. You know, one of the things that came out in that book, and I haven't always thought this way, folks. I told you, I just woke up a couple of years ago. I went to Bible college. I understand these things. But, you know, one of the things that I really purpose to do is I want to know the truth. And sometimes the truth is not comfortable. I don't care if it's truth in the science community. I don't care if it's truth in the media realm. The stuff that they dish out is truth when it's not truth at all. I don't care if it's truth in my own faith. I want to know the truth. And I want to know God. I want to know God undiluted. I want to know God personally. I want to know God in a way that you know, many Americans are afraid to know God. See, the word says that our God is a consuming fire. That's what the Word says about God. And I've shared this before on the radio. I might have even shared it on your show, Dorothy. But, you know, I remember when I was in the Air Force, I used to be stationed in Mississippi at one time. And I wasn't there for very long, and I was there with my wife. And, you know, she's from Montana, I'm from California. We'd never been in a tornado before. Give us a good shaker. You know, I'll take a good earthquake any day. You know, she'll deal with a hard snowstorm, but neither of us really like the idea of a tornado. And so I remember the first tornado watch that we found ourselves under. And she was scared. She had me call some new friends from church. And so I called them, you know, there's a tornado warning. What are we supposed to do? What they said is, you know, there's never been a tornado over there, Daniel. Don't worry about it. Never been one down there in a long, long time. You know, just, you know, watch out, but you should be fine. So I hung up the phone, and she said to me, she's standing there watching me, she said, you know, what did they say? And I told her what they said. And no sooner had those words came out of my mouth than all of a sudden there was this boom. We had two cats. They were black, and they were in the back room. All of a sudden, we see these two streaks come out on the back room. I'm like, "What was that?" There's a knock at the door, right? A knock at the door. And I'm like, "I'm in a daze." I'm like, "Oh, somebody put this." So I go to the door. I open the door, and it's my neighbor from across the street. He says, "Are you guys okay?" I said, "Yeah, we're okay. Why?" He said, "Does lightning just hit your house?" It was so funny. So anyway, I tell that story because what happened was we had these two pine trees at the corner of our house. It's a single-story house. These two pine trees at the corner of our house, and the lightning hit one of the pine trees on the inside, and it bolted. It bounced in between those pine trees like a pinball, boing, 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 and then it went off in the corner of the house, bam, in the corner of the house, right? And so, you know, I ran out, and the house wasn't on fire. It was kind of smoldering, but I put some water on it. I called the landlord because it was a rental. And, you know, the landlord sent a tree guy out the next day. And the tree, you could make jokes about southern guys with pot bellies. But this guy was the epitome of a southern guy, you know, living in Mississippi. So he's chewing on some tobacco or gum or something, and he says, "Well, them trees going to need to come down." I said, "But why? We love those trees. They're beautiful there." He looks at me and says, "You don't understand." He says, "That lightning, it changes the molecular structure." I didn't even know he knew that big of a word, but he says, "It changes the molecular structure on the inside of them trees, and they're going to die anyway. So we got to take them down now." I said, "Oh, okay, that's fine, yeah." But, you know, the Holy Spirit tugged on my shirt tail, and he said, and you know, I marveled at that lightning, he didn't say it killed it. He said it changed the DNA. It changed the molecular structure on the inside of that tree long before I could see it, long before it died. It changed it. And my brain just lit up when I heard that. I marveled at it. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, "That's just one flick of my pinky. That was nothing." And then he said, "And that is the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you." Then he wasn't talking about me. He was talking about the believer, because the Word says that the same Spirit of God that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of us. That's what the Word says. So when I talk about knowing about the things of God, the real things, the deeper things of God, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. I want to know God. I want to know Him unadulterated. I want to know Him without a filter. You know, we have filters at church. We have filters at Sunday school. We have filters, you know, in Bible study. We have all these filters. What we need is a direct line of communication to God, and you only get that, folks, on your face. You only get that when you're alone with him. You only get that when you crack open his word and you begin to devour it with your eyes and your heart. You only get that when you talk to him personally, one-on-one. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about at a time when the world is about to go insane. The word says that in last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. Now, think about that for a second. Let that soak in. Things will be so bad in last days, which I think these are those, or the beginning of those, that people's hearts will fail them for fear. People are going to start having heart attacks because of the things that are coming upon here, because they're scared. There's no peace. They're fearful. They don't know where to go. They don't have anything to eat. They don't know what to do. They're fearful. These are the days that we are coming into. When we talk about the Indian prophecies, when we talk about the books that I've written, these are the things that this has to deal with. It's interesting and it's entertaining, but folks, it is as real as I'm standing here talking to you. And the only place you can find that peace, the only place you can find that solace, the only place that you can find that direction is in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him, or if you only know him on a peripheral way, peripherally, if you only know him because your parents went to church or you go to church on Sundays, folks, this is the time to get serious about it. And I urge you, before things even get worse, before what happens really happens, this is the time that you seek him. Talk to him. He's waiting for you. He wants to talk to you. You know what? You don't have anything to fear from him. Talk to him about what you've done. Ask him to forgive you. Talk to him about what your concerns are. Ask him to help you. Talk to him about the aches and the pains and the hurt that you have inside. Ask him to heal you. He can do all those things. And he's as real can be. And he is the solution. So we've had a lot of fun tonight. We talked about some interesting, prophecies, and I took notes and I didn't even get to half of them. Lots of interesting things are being talked about by Native Americans that seem to know something that even we Americans don't know. I've talked a little bit about my books, and I encourage you to go to my website again. Daniel Holdings, www.danielholdings.com. That's Holdings with an S, .com. And I encourage you to read that. You know, there's a lot of, on my website, there are a lot of helps. For instance, there are links there to other watchers. You can find, with just that limited amount of links that I have, there's tons of information. But through links on their own site, you could find other, avenues of information. There's a great, on that website, there's something, I have a news page on there as well, and it's updated every day. It'll give you a video news brief of news that you're not hearing in the mainstream media, so I encourage you to get to. Of course, you can buy, the books there as well. And Dorothy, to that end, I want to make sure, one of the things I did, I was on one of Dorothy's shows last week, and on that show, for her listeners and darn it for your listeners, I want to give out 3 Days of the Belly of the Beast. My first book is normally $17.99. If you go to my website, and if you put in this code is Y as in Yankee, M as in Mike, H as in Hotel, Y is in Yankee, G is in Golf, N is in Nancy, U is in Uniform, Y is in Yankee. Y M H Y G N you why. If you put in that code on my website, it'll give you a 30% discount, and you'll get the book for only $12.60. So I do that for a couple reasons. Number one, this next book is coming out, and it would do you well to read that first book so you know why the characters are the way they are and what they're doing. Although I think you probably could pick up As the Darkness Falls and read it as an independent book all by itself and still get a lot of great stuff out of it, but it really does help to read the first book. And the second thing is, you're going to see a transformation in a guy that didn't believe in God. This is the thing about that character, Dr. Bryce Cooper. He was an agnostic. He was an atheist. And he came to an understanding of who God really was. And one of the things that I hope that you take away from that book is an understanding of who God really is. And so I encourage you to go there and, maybe get that book and follow that journey. And at any rate, go to the site and use some of the helps there. I think you'll get a lot out of it. But, Darnette, thank you so much, for having
thank
me on
you.
The show today. Dorothy,
well,
thank
I've
you.
Enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it as well. And, Dorothy, you've always been a kind host. Thank you so much for having me again. I don't know why you're not getting tired of me, but I appreciate you having me on anyway.
Oh, I could talk to you forever, I think, Daniel.
And, Dorothy, thank you for letting me do this, too. And,
oh, you're quite welcome, Darnette. I enjoy hearing about the Native American stuff. I'm a little bit Narragansett, so I don't know if Narragansett tribe has any prophecies. I should probably look that
I'm
up.
I'm sure.
But.
I think nearly all of them have prophecies in one way or the other. They all do it different. But this has really been fun. I've enjoyed it and informative. And I just pray that everybody takes it to heart and really listens to what Daniel has to say. I'm going to get into that book of his, The Belly of the Beast, and really listen and read and listen to the Lord while I'm reading.
Thank you for that. I hope you enjoy it. And Darnette and Dorothy, with your permission, can we pray before we go? We have
sure.
About 2 minutes left.
Absolutely.
I guess.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think
you
late,
Daniel.
Okay, thank you so much. Father, we thank you, Lord God, and we praise you for this time that we've had. But we thank you for your truth, your unadulterated truth, not religion, Lord. We thank you for the truth that came out tonight. We thank you for the truth that you've even hidden in the Native American prophecies. We thank you, Lord, that as we face an uncertain future, that we need not be fearful. Lord, that you're the same God in the storm as you are on the mountaintop in a peaceful day. You're that same God. You're our God. And, Lord, we thank you and we praise you that if your children who are called by your name cry out to you, that you will hear us, Lord, and you will rescue us. So, God, for those that don't know where to go or what to do or how to prepare, Father, I ask right now that you would give them direction, that they would hear your voice clearly, that you would give them wisdom in preparation. And, Lord, most of all, I pray that you would be real to those that don't know you or that want to know you more, that you would speak to them and they would know you in a deeper way, a personal way, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for Darnette. I ask that you bless her and Larry, Father. I thank you, Lord, for Dorothy and the ministry that she has on this show. I ask that you continue to bless her show. And, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for all these things. And we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Dorothy. And good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Father bless.
Bye-bye.